Welcome to Expert Second Opinion. Investigators discuss the optimal management of HER2-positive gastrointestinal cancers. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love, bringing you excerpts from a CME meeting we held on Thursday, January 8th, 2026 in San Francisco during the Gastrointestinal Cancer Symposium being held during that time. The moderator for this meeting was Dr. Lionel Kanku-Fanqua from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and the faculty included Dr. Haley Ellis from the Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School in Boston, Massachusetts, Dr. Eric von Kutzum from the University Hospitals Leuven in Leuven, Belgium, and Dr. Zev Weinberg from the UCLA School of Medicine in Los Angeles, California. Dr. Ellis began the meeting with a presentation on HER2-positive biliary tract cancers, followed by Dr. Weinberg, who commented on HER2-positive gastroesophageal cancers, and finally Professor von Kutzum, who talked about HER2-positive colorectal cancer. To begin, Dr. Fanqua presented several questions from the audience.
Before we move on to the cases for colorectal cancer, I'm going to go back to gastroesophageal for a little bit. We had a couple of online questions that should be quick ones, maybe for Zev. Assuming zanidatamab gets approved, in what patients are you using it, with or without tislelizumab?
I think ultimately it probably will be utilized with tislelizumab, and you know, you do have a compelling median overall survival advantage, at least compared to the control arm. Again, I'm looking forward to seeing the C versus B comparison, but on the basis of what we saw today, I'd certainly be comfortable with that regimen.
Another quick one, I think we kind of covered that a little bit. For a 7-year-old patient with fat liver disease diagnosed with stage 4 gastroesophageal cancer, IHC 2+ for HER2, PD-L1 10%, progresses on frontline FOLFOX and nivolumab, would you consider T-DXd in the second line?
So, I mean, 2+ is not HER2 positive, right? So if it's 2+-ish positive, the answer is yes. If it's 2+-ish negative, I would not actually use T-DXd right now in that patient.
There's another case, 3 cases for colorectal cancer. The first one is a 65-year-old gentleman with hypertension, metastatic disease to the lung, to the liver, HER2 IC3+, and also has a KRAS G12C mutation. Status was frontline FOLFOX and FOLFIRI bevacizumab. Next step for this patient, TDXD or KRAS-directed therapy? Eric, you want to tackle that one?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a rare special case in this setting. I don't think we have the data to make a strong statement which one we would go. We in Europe, we don't have the KRAS inhibitors approved, so we would go rather for HER2 targeted therapy if they would be available, the KRAS targeted therapies. Intuitively, but that's just gut feelings. That's no science. I may go, if I have to choose for this patient, for HER2 targeted therapy in this patient. But if I would see a patient with second opinion where the referring physician would have said G12C, I would not counteract that also in this setting.
Zev, do you agree or?
I mean, I think, you know, we do have the KRAS G12C inhibitors approved with EGFR in this country, right? So I think we have the advantage of having that. I first of all, it's pretty rare because, as you heard from Eric, you know, they're almost mutually exclusive, these KRAS mutations and true HER2 positive colon cancer. So that's a pretty lucky fellow. I would probably, veer a little more towards the KRAS because I feel like that's pretty nice, durable data that's been demonstrated both with adagrasib cetuximab and with sotorasib panitumumab. But, then I'd follow later with HER2 targeted therapy or, with TDXD later.
Right. But yeah, definitely rare.
I also would not disagree with Dr. Right. Ben Cutsum's recommendation if I saw the patient.
The next one, Dr. Ellis, if you want to tackle this one. This is a 60-year-old female with metastatic colorectal cancer, HER2 IHC3+ on initial biopsy, HER2 amplification on NGS. Treated with tucatinib pertuzumab, progression on the new tissue, HER2 IHC0, but NGS shows persistent HER2 amplification. So I guess how should one approach a case where there's persistent amplification and a ctDNA, but loss of expression in the tissue?
Yeah, this is a tough case, and certainly I would sort of use the actual copy number to probably inform that decision making a lot. Certainly the copy number amplifications that are seen in gastroesophageal cancer can be significantly high due to all those chromosomal shifts that are seen. You know, I would be probably a little bit hesitant to use sort of a HER2-targeted regimen in a HER2-low copy number IHC0 situation, but I think the copy number would probably make a difference.
So a 74-year-old gentleman with stage 3 colon cancer, treated with 12 cycles of FOLFOX, metastatic recurrence 14 months later, HER2 positive, IHC3 plus, RAS/RAF wild type. Would you skip FOLFIRI Bev and treat with the Montanier regimen, or would you go to TDXT? Eric?
Yeah, the label says that at least on the other side of the ocean, that we should go for chemotherapy. But my fingers would itch, and I would rather scientifically outside of the label. I think the treatment with a two-targeted therapy would be very appealing in this patient.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's more and more data showing that, you know, the earlier you target the biology, the oncogenic driver, the better. So, Zev, I see you nodding. You agree?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, the FOLFIRI Bev in second-line colon cancer, right, has a response rate of 10%. And so you have a pretty high response rate with both TDXD and tucatinib and trastuzumab. So I agree with Eric. I would probably favor one of the anti-HER2 regimens over chemo in this patient.
Great. 62-year-old gentleman with metastatic CRC progressed on FOLFOX Bev. Liver lesion, HER2 amplified, RAS/RAF wild type, choice between TDXD and trastuzumab tucatinib.
That's a choice we cannot really make in this type of patients, but in this type of patients, being RAS wild type, I think trastuzumab tucatinib could be an option. And then you still have, after that, as I mentioned in my last slide, if the patient doesn't respond, you can still do trastuzumab deruxtecan in this setting. After that, you don't have any data that if you start with trastuzumab deruxtecan, that if the patient is progressive, that tucatinib is still an option.
And I guess, can you speak a little bit to the, obviously, the mechanism of action? I mean, TDXD is an ADC, so all you need, even if there's a resistant mutation, so to speak, all you need is to get to the tumor. Does that affect how you sequence these?
Yeah, that helps to choose in this situation, yes.
All right. The next case here, 72-year-old gentleman with metastatic colon cancer, HER2 mutant on NGS. HER2 mutations approach the same way as HER2 overexpression. What is the overall incidence of HER2 mutations in CRC? Is the likelihood high enough to justify repeat tissue biopsy versus liquid biopsy at progression? What about, again, those TKIs that we use in the lung? I think, Eric, in your presentation, you talked about the prevalence, the lower prevalence of HER2 mutations, but
1-2%,
right? Very low. Yeah. But would you re-biopsy? Would you repeat a biopsy given the low incidence?
No, I don't think I would do a repeat biopsy. You could do a liquid biopsy, but I would not do a new tumor biopsy in these patients. We don't have so many data of HER2 targeted agents in colorectal cancer for HER2 mutations. They were not included in the tucatinib study. They were not included in the trastuzumab deruxtecan study. It could be active in this setting. Zongertinib, as was said earlier, in other cancers, in mutants, it seems to be there is appealing activity. I'm not aware of any published data of zongertinib in colorectal cancer with a mutation. I think there are some studies ongoing to look into that question, but that may be for the future an option,
right?
Also.
Great. I think the next question, we've kind of touched on it a little bit. It looks like it's a metastatic colorectal cancer with brain mets, IHC3+. Would you do trastuzumab tucatinib versus T-DXd? I know, Zev, you touched on it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I think same rules apply as gastric here. You know, tucatinib has pretty good CNS penetration, right? So you're in that situation. So I would feel that would be my first choice there.
Agreed. The next one here, 62-year-old female, HER2-positive colorectal cancer, has a KRAS mutation on T-DXd, progression after 12 months of T-DXd. What is the impact of KRAS mutation on response to anti-HER2 therapy? What is the likelihood of response if changing therapy from T-DXd to tucatinib trastuzumab? Again, that's kind of the question I had earlier related to the mechanism of action of T-DXd. Does the mutation really matter? I don't know if maybe Dr. Ellis want to take that one.
Yeah, no, I definitely do think it matters. Again, we don't always see these co-occurring together, HER2 amplification and KRAS mutations. But because RAS signaling is one of the major downstream pathways of HER2, I think it is important to think about the mechanism of action of the drug you're giving in these settings. So T-DXd has shown efficacy in these RAS mutant cases, so I would probably lean in that direction.
I mean, one of the key things, right, with HER2 is, as Eric presented, you don't want to use EGFR inhibitors, right? That's the big thing. You know those drugs don't work at all, even in the RAS wild-type patients with HER2. Those are resistance mechanisms there, so you want to stay away from those EGFR inhibitors if you know your patient's HER2 positive.
Great. Next case here, 54-year-old, metastatic colon cancer, widespread with hepatic mets. HER2-positive, RAS-RAF wild-type, frontline FOLFOX-panitumumab, progression after 3 months, went to trastuzumab to tucatinib in the second line, had a partial response, but then eventually progression after 8 months with lots of hepatic disease burden, persistent IHC-positive amplification, and newly acquired KRAS G12D, G12D mutation and an EGFR amplification. Would you go T-DXd or target other pathways?
So there you go, right? HER2 patient progressed right away on FOLFOX panitumumab. And that's actually not uncommon. The response to frontline EGFR, it's a very fast progression. And Raghav at MD Anderson has shown that about 10 years ago. And so I really think here, you know, this is a acquired mutation probably, which is not uncommon, happens. I think T-DXd makes sense here if the patient is still HER2 positive. That would be my thought.
Dr. Ellis?
No, I totally agree. Zev is very prescient to have discussed that before this case. I completely agree with the thoughts with these, you know, acquired MAPK RAS alterations.
Okay. Another case of HER2 positive now with BRAF mutation, KRAS wild type, progression after 18 months of T-DXd. What is the next line of therapy? Continue anti-HER2 or add a BRAF inhibitor or stop the anti-HER2 therapy, change to kind of a BRAF targeted regimen?
Yeah, I would go for BRAF targeted therapy right. As far as I can understand the case. BRAF mutation. No, not yet any BRAF targeted therapy in this patient. It's a rare situation, I guess. I haven't seen any patients like that, but I would go for BRAF targeted therapy. The Breakwater, the Beacon data were quite clear.
Agreed.
And it's interesting that they mentioned fulfiristuximab and carafinib, which is actually, there's data on Saturday
Breakwater. With
that Breakwater combination. It looks pretty good, admittedly, in the front line.
Correct.
But that's a prescient of that particular provider.
Correct. The next one is looks like a case of oligometastatic colorectal cancer to the liver, KRAS G12D mutant, HER2 IHC3+. As first line of therapy, any role for HER2 targeted therapy in addition to FOLFOX bed? Kind of to convert. So any role for HER2 targeted therapy in the conversion setting here? I don't think
that's what we hope for. That's one of the goals in the Mountaineer study, the Mountaineer 3 study that I showed the outline in the study. We will look, of course, also at response rate and to see in the first line whether more patients with initially unresectable disease can be converted. But we don't have yet any data in this situation.
All right. Agreed. So maybe the last question here, I think we touched on this in the gastroesophageal cancers, kind of in the adjuvant setting, you know, any role for her to targeted therapy?
Too early, I would say.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Expert Second Opinion, Management of HER2-Positive Gastrointestinal Cancers.